Accession number 11307, Reel 5.
Lieutenant Commander Adams, Reel 5.
Yes, I was asking you about the countermeasures for coping with exocets, bearing in mind that the Soviet Navy doesn't have them. Would you have been prepared to have countered the Argentinians?
I think we were in the process of developing countermeasures because Western missile systems are or were available in the Gulf. And we had been in the Gulf for a couple of years by that stage. And so we were developing anti-Western countermeasures. We in Coventry didn't have to put any countermeasures into force. But we had a number of tried tactics and also new tactics which we could use to counter it. So I don't believe we would necessarily have had too much of a problem, apart from the fact of tracking and taking the right countermeasures at the right time.
Well, would the sort of firing of chaff, would that have been one of the measures?
Oh, yes. And how you fire it and where you fire it depends on the threat and where it's coming from. Chaff is part and parcel of what is known as soft kill, i.e. Distracting or confusing missiles or seducing them off your ships without actually shooting them down.
Did you have any media attention when you returned to a base? You know, were you were the media interested in your experience? Did you have much coverage, the sinking of Coventry?
Well, when we went to South Georgia, we then transferred to the QE2. And it was an operation that was carried out very quickly in, which is off Gripficon, I think, that five brigade, the Paras and the Gurkhas, were unloaded and went into the ships that we had just got off. And the survivors from our ship, the 221s and a handful of others, boarded QE2 and sailed home, which took us about 3 weeks, which was very comfortable.
Were there reporters on the QE2?
I don't think there were reporters going home on the QE2. There was very little media coverage. In fact, I was quite surprised when we got back how everyone remembered Sheffield and nobody remembered Coventry. Coventry didn't seem to take that much interest, and Atlantic Conveyor, perhaps rightly, took far more news coverage, and we seemed to have a very low-profile one. But, I mean, by that stage, nobody wanted to talk about defeats, and by the time we got home, we were in the throes of capturing Stanley anyway.
Did you have a reception, you know, when you docked the QE2?
There was a vast number of families on the jetty. I think they even had a band or something, but there were quite a lot of people there to greet us home, which was very nice. It was a little bit overpowering, and we just wanted to shoot off and go home. And certainly from my point of view, I wasn't terribly concerned about sort of big media coverage. I firstly wanted to make sure that all my division had met their next of kin and they were all right. Then I just wanted to shoot off with my family.
Had they suffered much? You know, did you gauge what your family had been through? You know, were they must have been very worried about you, I imagine.
I think my parents were very worried. My fiancée was less so. She had just left Lorenzo at that stage, but she was my next of kin. She would have known bad news by who contacted them, and the fact that no news was nothing to worry about. So from that point of view, she suffered much less. But my parents suffered quite a lot.
Were they told of the sinking? You know, quite soon after. I wonder how they. When they heard of it.
I think it was announced in Parliament that evening that a ship had been sunk, and I believe there was quite a lot of discontent over the announcement, although obviously we weren't aware of this. I mean, the ship wasn't actually named until later.
This experience you had, you know, there you were on your exercises and suddenly you were right into the real thing, to the ultimate, inasmuch that you were sunk. Do you think the reality of war has made you a better naval officer? Have you been taught, you have explained some of the effects, but were you taught, you know, personal lessons through this experience, do you think?
I think so. For a very short while afterwards, certainly material things didn't matter, but I think that's the normal case for you when you lose everything, because my home was on board. Everything I owned was in my cabin, and I had nothing else, apart from the clothes I stood up in, which is why I was quite pleased to get another pair of trousers and another jumper. So from that point of view, material items were irrelevant. It made me appreciate human relationships more, and I think it has made me a better naval officer in terms of being able to relate my experiences and being able to understand what it's all about. And perhaps, if it ever happened again, allay the fears of people who were there for the first time. One thing I remember the captain saying, because he was a midshipman in either Borneo or Malaya or somewhere like that, he was saying that it's always much easier second time around, which hopefully I won't need, but if I do, hopefully I'll remember it. So it's little things like that, and the fact that working together as a team, we were able to come through it, even though we ended up at the wrong end, if you like.
This loss of all your little home, as you put it, and your possessions, what does the Navy do about that today?
Well, on the way home, we had two tasks to fill. I had two tasks to fill in QE2. One was to carry out an inquiry into the deaths of the people who died in the ship, in order to establish that they were dead rather than anywhere else. The problem being then the legal aspect later. And the other side was to vet the claims of all the ship's company, because we had to write down everything we had and we had on board for reimbursement. And from a personal point of view, living on board, I found this very, very difficult. What happened is we had an advance of money to go and buy a set of clothes, and then shortly afterwards we were given a kit issue and the remainder of the money to make up what we'd lost, and also to buy new uniforms. So that happened very quickly. I think people were very good. This was part of cutting the bureaucratic red tape, is that people responded to the situation and did away with the sort of pettiness of normal peacetime life and got on to do what was right, as opposed to what was written down in the small print.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Ray, for sharing your experiences of the Falklands War with me today. Thank you.
Pleasure.